Hi, good morning, everyone. It's my pleasure to be back here. I was here about 2 years ago, and thankfully, the leadership has invited me to join you today. It's a great honor for me to bring you God's words, and I wish you all a meaningful Memorial Day as we remember what our forefathers did for us to have the peace and freedom to be able to worship as we are able to do this morning. I want to bring you the word of God from the book of John chapter 13, verse 31 to 35 on the theme, love that makes Christ known. Love that makes Christ known. And it's going to read this. When he was gone, Jesus said, now the Son of Man is glorified and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciple if you love one another. Amen. I have a little question to begin with this morning, and my question is very simple. What is the greatest evidence that we belong to Jesus or we are the disciples of Christ? What is it that we can show off to people that it will easily make us identifiable as disciples of Christ? Obviously, I know you will agree with me, it will be very awkward to write on our forehead, disciples of Christ, and everywhere we go, everyone sees that we follow Christ. Would that be nice? I don't think so. And then it's also not just good enough to talk about the deeds that we can do. Oh, I'm a very good person. I'm well behaved. And therefore, I'm a disciple of Christ. Actually, several other religions also teach this, how to be a good person. So what is it at all that you and I could find ourselves doing, we can relate to and be able to tell the world that indeed we are disciples of Christ? If you remember in Antioch, the Bible says it was because of the actions of the disciples that they were named Christians as a nickname. It wasn't like a very well-coined name to praise them. It was just a nickname to let them people know that these people acted as Christ did. And so what is it in you and I, our lives, that we can look at and realize that this will expose us to the world to know that, for the world to know we are disciples of Christ. And this scripture that we just read is teaching us about how Christ was preparing his disciples that he was going to leave the earth. We previously, I'm sure Pastor Trent preached about how Judas betrayed him and then how he was near to the cross and how the cross was going to come upon him and he was going to suffer. And despite all of these hard times, he preached about love and how people could be identified as his disciples. So in the next few steps, we're going to look at some of the things we could do as Christians to in order to be identified as the disciples of Christ. So the first thing I have on my list is Jesus loved through actions. Jesus loved through actions. In the first two verses that we read, which is John chapter 13, verse 31 to 32, it talks about Jesus being glorified and God being glorified in him. However, that glorification doesn't just come. It comes as a result of the actions and step he took by going to the cross, humbling himself. Though being God, he did not see that as his final state. He humbled himself to come down upon this earth, live as you and I, and then suffered the most humiliating death in order to be glorified. So he took very bold action steps in order to get to that stage where he was glorified. Jesus demonstrated his love for the world through his sacrifice. That's the action he took. I know we all, one way or the other, talk about love. And at least in Ghana, we know you cannot propose to a lady and claim you love the lady without any action being followed. It will just be mere words. I'm sure the lady will gladly turn you down. And I don't know. I hope it doesn't happen here. So we must follow that action with, I mean, that love with some actions. It doesn't just come, I love you, and then that is it. It doesn't end there. It must be followed with actions. He went to places you and I could not go because he was demonstrating love for us in order to be glorified. Christ went to the cross where you and I could never go to. He went to that place which was the most shameful. Death, to be put on the cross in those days, was the like being sentenced to death today or something, I don't know. But that's what he was, that's the action he was willing to take for us in order for you and I to see the kind of love he had for us and for us to also copy from him and practice the same kind of love. For Christ, the cross was not just a suffering. It wasn't just going through all that agony. We've all seen the movies, the Passion of Christ, and the other one, I've forgotten the name. The one on the apps. Chosen, exactly, thank you. So it tells us about how much Christ went through. But for him, it wasn't just about the suffering. It was about demonstrating love in action. Just as we want to profess our love to people, we don't just use words. We demonstrate it by being there for the people, by actually doing something for these people, for them to appreciate that indeed we love them. It's just like telling your children, I love you, and you don't care for them. You don't provide what they need. You don't provide housing or shelter or anything. And you just keep saying, I love you. That doesn't change anything. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's a demonstration of love Christ had for us. Even though we had not become Christians, even though we had no knowledge of what it was going to be for us, even though we didn't have any hope of salvation, Christ still looked at us and chose us to come and take an action on our behalf, to go to the cross and pay for the sins you and I have committed. That is love in action. That is not love waiting for you to become a Christian before he will come down from heaven to earth to die for us. That is not the kind of love he displayed. It was the one which came even before we saw the light. That's the kind of love Christ is talking about. And in Ghana Christian Mission, as I serve with, we see the same thing. We see that it is important for us to go out to the world and demonstrate that same love in action. So how do we do this? We go and serve in very difficult places, hard to reach places in Ghana. Some places, the roads, oh, they're amazing in Ghana, trust me. I usually like to say this. When I come to the States and you see a sign on the road, potholes ahead, like 2 miles before, a mile and a half before, 1 mile before, and stuff like that. And I get there and I ask myself, where is the pothole? Because it's just a scratch on the road. Those of you who have been to Ghana, maybe other part of Africa, you know what pothole is. So we don't look at these hindrances that stops us from getting to the places we drive in streams of river, drive when the temperature is about 115. We still go there out there and show love to people. We care about the people group that we work with. We don't get limited by what is around them, how far the place is, how hostile they might be, or whatever the history of those people are. We still want to serve them. I have a missionary right now who can't live in his house, because there's been a tribal conflict in his home for almost 2 years now. He's not been to his home. Him and I had a conversation. I'm like, okay, do you think it's time for you to say, I'm done? He said, no, I am not leaving. If I leave, who takes care of this sheep of Christ? That's what it means to love in actions. And so he's still there now. We serve communities with patience and consistency. Sometimes you can serve in a community and it will take you forever to make an impact. But when you love and you want to demonstrate it through an action, you are patient with that person and then you wait and you are consistent. In fact, let's go back to the dating stage. When you like a lady and you propose the first time, you get a number, it doesn't always work out. That's it.
Sometimes you have to go back and be patient and take all the time and be consistent about it before it finally works out. And that's what we do in the communities, to be able to demonstrate the love of Christ. We are patient and we take all the time in order to get it right. Love always moves us towards people. That's how you demonstrate love in actions. For us, sometimes it's about traveling all these miles to learn a new language, to learn a new culture, in order to share the gospel. Because in Ghana, if you travel just about 50 miles, you can find yourself in a different language group of people where the culture is different, the language is different, even the food they eat is primarily different, the way they dress is different, their customs and traditions are different. But that doesn't stop us. We move until the gospel is heard wherever we find ourselves. Number two, I want us to look at this morning is, the standard of love. And it says, as I have loved you, is the standard Christ has set for us. We've been talking about love, 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 love. But the question is, what standard of love is Christ expecting us to demonstrate to the world? You know, there are so many types of love in this world. We talk about the agape love, the eros love, the philos love, and all the rest. And then the world also has its own standard of love, where if it doesn't benefit me, I don't love you back. If it's not transactional, you and I have nothing in common. If there's no paper signed document that shows that we can do this. Even marriages, I have to get what they call, is it a prenup where we agree on what will happen? That is not the kind of love Christ is teaching us. Christ talks, says this. He said, Christ did not simply say love people. If he had said it, it would have been easier because it's optional. I choose to love the way I want to love. No, he said what? Love as I have loved you. That is the only way he recommends us to demonstrate love to others. Love as I, Christ, have loved you. And the question is, what is that standard Christ is talking about? What did Christ teach us that we must copy and replicate in our daily lives? Number one, we see that Christ loved us sacrificially. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16, it talks about Christ loved us to the point where he came to die for us. I'm not sure any of us will be willing to do that today, to love all the way to the point of death. No. We may love someone so much, we are so much in love, and at some point we get to the place where we said, okay, I think it's enough. I'm not going to kill myself over this person. Even to our children, we do the same thing. Sometimes my boys will do something and I'm like, hey, stop. That's the first one. Stop. The second one. Stop. The third time, maybe the fourth time, I won't say stop. I might use a different method. And this is true. In other relationships, when things don't go well, we get to the place where we said, okay, enough is enough. I think this love thing we're talking about is not working. Let's look for something else to do. But that is not what Christ did. He said, while we were still sinners, he came to die for us. He was not expecting anything in return. But in other forms of love, you must get something back before you continue to love. That transactional love. But in Christ's case, where he's expecting us to also do is that love, even if they don't love you back. Love, even if it doesn't benefit you. I have been asked so many times in the places we go to do ministry with this simple question. Why do you come here to do ministry? And my answer has always been one. Because Christ loved us and gave us the same command to love others. I want to share a quick story of this woman. We had a medical outreach in one of the villages, and this woman, the husband is a fetish priest, those who do the voodoo and stuff like that. So when she came to the outreach, she went through all the processes. They didn't give her life to Christ at that moment. And when she finished, she received her meds, and then went back to ask one of the guys who was helping in the outreach that, how much do I pay? And they told her, oh, it's free. She said, I don't believe it. Why is it free? And we said, well, it's free. That's what it is. And she asked, why is it free? And she was told, because Christ loved her and wanted them to do this for her. This woman goes home. Now, the husband is not supposed to be a Christian, obviously, but she's felt love like never before. Later became a Christian against her husband's will. However, that new life, new love that was found was able to compel the husband to also become a Christian. That's when we show love sacrificial, because when we did the outreach, we expected nothing in return because we know she can't pay for it. But because we simply follow the standard of Christ, it changes life and it brings and draws people near Christ. The second thing we can see in the Christ standard is he loves patiently. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, it says, love is patient. There is no rush in love. I'm giving you up to 3 weeks. If you don't make up your mind, I'm leaving you behind. Yes, we do that. We tell our kids so many times, this, if you repeat this action again, this and this is going to happen. But love is patient. We must be patient as we love the world that Christ has commanded us to. We must be patient in the love we give to one another, because love is patient. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, we see the third one. We've read that scripture already, but it says we must love personally. Christ loved us personally. It wasn't a love built on a relationship with somebody else. He was personal with us. He loved you. He loved you, and he loved me as well. And therefore, we must also show that love personally to people. It's not because you love her, so that's enough. I don't have to show any love to her. No, I must also develop the love with that person, to be able to live the example or the standard that Christ has demonstrated in the scriptures. And the last about the standard of love is that Christ loved us unconditionally. There's no condition. There's no rules that set that, okay, if I love you for 2 years, you must pay me back this amount and whatever it is. No. Christ's love to us started before we became Christians. In John 3:16, he says, for he so loved the world that he gave his only son. The world, everybody, not because we deserved it, not because we could work for it. And that's what keeps us going. In Ghana Christian Mission, we also see ourselves to be doing the same thing. The people group we go to haven't done anything to us. They've not paid us. They still don't pay us any money. But we are so motivated to go out there and share the love of Christ. We identify ourselves with them. We feel like we are a part of them by learning their language, understanding their culture, eating their food, and living with them. We also do this by providing medical care with for them. I think there was a group that came to Ghana last 2 years. Sister Pam, you are here, one of them. And I think other people were also part of them. They came to demonstrate their love through the medical outreach. We do this by serving in the clinics to be able to provide care for the vulnerable. Because if we don't do it, who else will? There are still places where every morning the women would have to carry a bucket of water, walk for 3-4 miles, get one bucket, walk back to the house, pour it down, go back, and fetch again. And this water is in high demand because the goats need it, the cattle need it, the sheep need it, and everybody's taking from the same source. This is where we go in to drill a well for them so they don't do that long distance of walk, as well as have safe drinking water, because Christ expects us to love them and show his love to them. We help so many children in needy situation. We help support families that are struggling. We train a lot of leaders. But for us, these are not just projects. No. They sound like projects that we can do, but we have a reason for doing it. We do this because we express the love of Christ to everyone that we can come along with. And for us, it is using anything available that can help us have access to share the gospel, which is Christ's love to them. And that's what Christ says. But that's the standard Christ is expecting from us to use when we love the rest of the world. Are we able to do that? The third thing I want us to look at is love is a witness to the world. When we follow the love Christ has commanded us to follow, it becomes a witness to the world. In John 13:35, it says, Jesus said, by this everyone will know that you are my disciple. And that's the first question I ask. How does the world get to know you are disciples of Christ? And the answer is right here in this scripture. By loving one another, then the world gets to know. Everyone will know you are my disciple. The world is watching the church in order to identify the true disciples of Christ. The world is watching the church. It's not always about what we preach or what we profess. Oh, I'm a Christian. I've been worshiping God since 1985. I was baptized in this year. I did this. That is not what the world is looking at. The world is looking at our life first before they listen to what we preach. They look at how we treat one another, how we show love. In Ghana, we say it in this funny way. What you are doing is so loud that I can't hear what you are saying. What you're doing to your neighbor, what you are doing to your friend is so loud that when you speak, I can't hear. So make sure what you are doing is love, that it can see, the world can see and recognize that you are truly disciples of Christ. In Ghana Christian Mission, we still believe in the same thing, that what we do must be able to show the love of Christ. In many unreached areas, we show the love of Christ by what we do in the communities. Now, there's a story of this place. We've been trying to reach out to people in this community for almost 4 years with very, very little success. It was one of the most difficult places, a 99.9 Islam community. And you can't just go there and say, I'm winning souls, because the Muslim wouldn't allow you. After 4 years, what we did was we started to reach out to them in a more practical way. So there were two instances where we had to pay medical bills for people who were in very bad health situation, but could never afford to even step in a hospital to get treatment. We did that. Last year, we had a church from Savannah, Georgia, who visited us and did a medical outreach in that community. And to the glory of God, right after some of this practical things we did to demonstrate that we love our neighbors, we love one another, we have 3 churches in that community. We didn't have to go ringing the bell and say, come to church, but they saw that love in action. It was no longer just what you are saying, but it became what we were doing to one another. And that's what opened the door for us. Sometimes it's just about providing a cup of water, safe drinking water to people. And then they get to see exactly what that love is. It becomes a clear witness to the love of God. Because if the person had been suffering for years, when someone is hungry, mostly the messages you share with the person, they don't hear. Because they are more preoccupied with their hunger or their health issues. Our missionaries live in the community with the people we serve. And we just want to show them love and compassion as Christ wants us to. Many communities open their heart to the gospel because they first experienced genuine love, not because they first heard you speak. That's what happens. What does this mean for us today? What shall we do with this message? What should we do to demonstrate to the world that indeed we are true disciples of Christ? Jesus calls all believers, not only church leaders and missionaries and all of that, the leaders of the church and pastors and co. But Jesus calls all believers to be able to reflect his love to the world. And I have 3 points that I believe will help us to be able to reflect that love well. The first is, we have all been called to go out to the world and do something. The reason why we all have to go is because of Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, which says, therefore, go ye into the world, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them what I've taught you. So we've all been mandated to go and make a difference. Now, the story why I went to Bible school is because of that scripture. I was praying very hard for God to make me rich so that I would sponsor his ministry. But God didn't listen to that prayer. I'm still waiting for that to be answered, though. And when I studied this scripture, Matthew chapter 28, I realized that I was wrong. I was thinking it was the job for the elders, the deacons, and the pastors to go. But when you read it carefully, it simply says, therefore, go. It doesn't qualify who goes, whether male or female, young or old, clergy or not, you have to go. So we've all been called to go. Let's go out there and make a difference. Let's serve people. Let's go into the communities nearby or very far away. Let's step out there and make a difference. Christ is expecting us to do that and show our love by going. The next thing he's talk about is to serve. As we go, let's serve the people. Some people from this church came to Ghana to serve the people in Ghana. You can serve in your community. You can serve in the ends of the earth. Christ is expecting us to serve by supporting what is going on around us, by providing resources, by encouraging one another. Let's go out there and serve. This is what he's expecting from us, so that we can demonstrate the love of Christ. And the last one is to pray. I was encouraged by one woman I met today. I'm sorry I won't remember her name, but I was told she prayed over so many eyeglasses that went to India. That's something small we can all do. Pray for the work of God around you and around the world. It really makes a difference. If out of this three you can't do anything at all, at least pray. If you can go, go. If you can serve, serve. But at least you should pray. And that's how we can demonstrate the love of Christ to people. To make the love of Christ known, this is what we have to do. The same love that brought Jesus Christ from heaven to earth is the same love he's expecting us to show. It was love that compelled him to leave all his glory, to leave all his majestic being or nature, to come and take our level and show us love. He's expecting us to do the same thing. Let's descend from our high thrones and come down to the level of the people God wants us to love. If we don't do that, we'll never appreciate what it means to love them. Can people see the love of Christ through the way we live and serve and care for others? Will people easily see you and say you are a disciple of Christ without asking you any question, without ever interacting with you, just because they saw you doing something, they would say, this is a Christian. In Antioch, as I mentioned, the disciples didn't go around telling people we are followers of Christ. No, their actions led others to give them that nickname. So will it be the same thing for you? May our love make Jesus known in McDonough here, as well as to the ends of the earth. Amen. And as we come to the end, I want us to get ready for our communion. Let's reflect on the sacrificial love of Christ as he abandoned all the glory for you and I's sake, to come down on this earth and to die on the cross. May we reflect on the work he did, and may we pray as we take this communion. Our Lord and Master, we are grateful unto you. We pray that, Lord, you will continually to renew our mind, to understand what it means to love and to clearly live truly by loving one another and especially following the standards that you have set for us. We also pray that, Lord, let the sacrificial love that you made always be in our mind, that will also repeat the same thing, understanding that we need to always sacrifice something for others, just as you sacrifice your body and your blood for us. We thank you in Christ Jesus' name. May you take the communion as you reflect on this.